We continue to read from God's word as it comes from the Gospel of John. And this is a familiar passage as well, because it's another appearance story of Jesus. And the disciples are the ones that are recipients then, but also for us today, because like those disciples then, we are also called by Christ. Let us listen to God's holy word. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you wherever you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." Holy wisdom, holy word. This just in from the Capital Journal online news feed from Topeka, Kansas. The historic Topeka Central Congregational United Church of Christ Church, where the Reverend Charles Monroe Sheldon of What Would Jesus Do fame preached more than a century ago, is up for sale for $425,000. The article states this, and I quote, "The Coldwater Banker Griffin and Blair Realty website said the church was built in 1900. In addition to its sanctuary, it has space for Sunday school classes, offices, and a chapel building, which is attached to the south side of the main building. The church has served central Topeka area for nearly 130 years. Its enduring legacy came from Sheldon, who in 1896 penned the Christian novel In His Steps, which became an international bestseller and made the Topeka pastor one of the most famous preachers of his day. And the book posed this question: what would Jesus do? And applied the teachings of Christ to issues of the late 1800s. Well, the Reverend Joshua Longbottom, the church's current pastor, said Thursday night, this past Thursday night, the sale was brought about by the high cost of keeping a large building open. Well, you know, this is a striking event, especially when everything appeared to be okay, and especially to the people outside. What is more amazing is what the pastor said about the building, and he said, basically, we can't afford it. We're trying to maximize our money and use it for missions and ministry instead of overhead. Unquote. Well, I believe that the congregation was discerning themselves for some time on what direction in ministry and mission they would cast their nets into the future. They made a course correction in what is important to Christ's call and what is important to that congregation. Now, the story of Jesus on the shore of the Sea of Tiberias is the third appearance of the Lord to his disciples. He is the first to ask the disciples to cast their nets wide, especially on the right side of the boat. Well, the minds of the disciples were most likely centered on the events of recent days with the appearance of the risen Lord. Their hearts were probably heavy as they fell back into the way of life that was before the Lord. Well, you know, Simon Peter decided to go fishing, and the others went along with him in the boat. It turns out that they were unlucky because they couldn't catch anything that night. In the morning, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was the Lord. And he said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" And they said, "No." He said to them, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." And with those words, they cast the net to the right side of the boat and struggled with the full net. Then they recognized the risen Lord. Simon Peter, in his impetuous way, jumped into the sea to get to shore while the other disciples brought the boat in. The Lord had a fire going, and they ate fish together. And it was a recognition to them that indeed this was the Lord, because he took bread and gave them fish as well. The risen Lord was present among them at that moment. Ultimately, Jesus is calling his disciples to cast their nets on the right side of the boat, and yes, even to make a course change in the midst of loss and uncertainty. Everyone must make a course correction in life and faith sometimes. The disciples did, and we do as well. Well, friends, over the past 12 months, we, especially the session, have been refocusing and reclaiming the church's vision on the mission of this congregation. The ruling elders and teaching elders have struggled mightily with wisdom and perseverance. You can all be thankful for their commitment to restoring the nets for the present ministry, and intentionally moving forward and casting the nets wide by renewing the future with the mission of disciple making. You know, even as we look to the future, we still have to recognize that there is something about this congregation that we all love. The affirmation of past ministry and mission is to be honored and praised. Those who have given many hours of commitment to the life of this congregation as they served as elders or deacons or even serving on a committee are to be thanked and appreciated. The faithful pastors who have graced this congregation are to be remembered and thanked for their ministry since the chartering of this church. The individuals who have given direction to the Christian education efforts are to be thanked and recognized. We can remember the many fellowship and mission events, special gatherings, weddings, funerals, baptisms, and celebrations woven throughout the history of this congregation. for all that this congregation has done and is doing today. I thank God for you and for the witness of Christ within these walls as you are taught to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Friends, as we recognize the past, this congregation is now in a position in its life cycle where the casting of the nets is called upon to be wider than they are today. We must not be afraid of what the Lord is calling us to do today as faithful disciples. This is a challenge for each of us as we are in good company as we serve a risen Lord. Well, we heard earlier about the challenge of Saul, who later became Paul, and Ananias, who was also a disciple of Christ. Well, the challenge to the two of them was that they each needed to overcome fear and cast their nets wide as the Lord desired of them. We heard how Saul was knocked from his animal to the ground, and how he was blinded, and how he was confronted by the Lord, and how he was sent to a particular place in Damascus, and he was to wait there for a disciple of Jesus. Well, also in the town was Ananias, and he was a faithful disciple of the risen Lord who called to him to complete a mission. Ananias said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." Well, I'm sure that Ananias was shocked by the request because of Saul's reputation as one who was always looking for Christians to condemn them, to kill them, to put them in prison. Well, Ananias was asked to go beyond his comfort level. Jesus said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." Even to this day, Paul has cast the net wide. If you look at your scriptures, the epistles, you can see that the words of Christ have spread throughout the world and are still calling people to Jesus. Well, the risen Lord called Ananias and Paul to cast their nets wide, to learn to become a disciple and to teach as a disciple. They both needed to be open to the Savior's commands. But we too are called upon to cast our nets wide in the ministry and mission of Christ Jesus. This challenge will take us to places and to people who we don't even know yet. If we cast the net wide, then the mission of Christ will be further fulfilled by our efforts and by the membership of this congregation. Well, one of the ways in which the nets can continue to be cast wide, especially through this congregation, is one's commitment to the mission and ministry by planned giving for the future. It is important for each of us to evaluate how this congregation can continue a viable ministry and sustainable mission for Christ in this community. You are hearing stories from individuals, from disciples who are devoted to the longevity of Christ's church and mission in this place and in this time. We have our own stories to tell as well. We all have a commitment to the witness of Jesus Christ in the world and through the community through the lives that we live. Yes, a building may help the effort. However, we must pursue and fulfill our major task as Christians and as a church. And Jesus commanded us in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, and it's a very familiar one because it's the basis of why we exist today and what we are called to do. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is our commission to fulfill. We can only move forward in our faith journeys to make disciples for Christ, especially when we cast the nets wide and we bring people to Jesus Christ. Well, another way for us to cast the nets wide is to redirect our attention to advancing a missional church life, which is much different than a consumer church concept. A missional church is a body of people sent on a mission who gather in a community of worship, a community engagement, and teaching from the word in addition to what they are self-feeding themselves throughout the week. In other words, how we are replenishing our own spirit by being involved in God's word. In other words, my friends, we are the church. We are the church in the world. And we are the ones to cast our nets wide so that others can see Jesus Christ in our lives and so others can come to Christ as well. So my dear sisters and brothers, the risen Lord calls each of us to cast the nets wide so his ministry, his mission, and his church draws people to him. Cast them wide. Cast them wide so that we can bring people to Jesus and bring them to a life of grace and peace and love. So may it be so for each one of us as we listen to what the Lord asks us to do by casting our nets into the world and into the communities around us. Jesus is here, and he calls each one of us to cast our nets. Amen.